You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
As many listeners are aware, Corey and I have been doing this for about 3.5 months now. And the future of Cannabis Health Radio rests with you, the listener. If we can get enough listeners making donations, then we can survive. If not, then Corey and I will reluctantly be forced to shut down this podcast. As mentioned several weeks ago, we've made a substantial financial investment in equipment, website, our time, and we've only gotten a sparse return. Corey and I do this because we love bringing these inspirational stories to you. Stories of people who have successfully used cannabis to clear a fatal disease or used it to help them with pain of an ailment they have. With governments around the world slowly legalizing medical marijuana, more and more people are looking at this plant to help them. And if you would like to help us bring their stories to you, then help us out. You can make a donation by going to our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Go there today, make a donation, help us out, help us continue bringing these stories to you. Our guest today is a bit of an expert on cannabis. He used it for his arthritis, prostate cancer, and in dealing with pain from a crushed vertebra in his neck. He is also the author of a book on growing cannabis titled Medical Growing, A Garden of Peace. Joining us from Vancouver, Canada, is Daniel Baugin. Daniel, good of you to do this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Daniel, take us back to the 1990s and tell us how you became so interested in cannabis.
My mom passed away around 1998. She had been affected by several different types of cannabis, cancer, but my parents had been treating her with herbals. And now I've been using cannabis recreationally since I was 14, and I saw that the herbals really, really helped my mom. And I'd begun to hear that cannabis could cure cancer, so I began to look into it. And after my mom passed away, around 2002, I started a website where I would gather people together to teach and learn about cannabis growing, with the idea of writing a book.
I want to kind of break this interview down into several segments. I want to talk about your arthritis, your prostate cancer, your crushed vertebra, and then we'll get into your book. Tell us about your use of cannabis for your arthritis.
I have arthritis in my hands and throughout my body, and I've had since I was about 20. It's in my family. Although I was aware that there were medications out there that were good for arthritis, I never felt the need to use them because I had been using cannabis and without knowing it had helped my symptoms. Anytime I used cannabis, any of the aching in my hands, which is where it usually is, would go away. And most often I wasn't really that badly afflicted by it because of my constant use of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I was treating it without knowing it and recognized it only in retrospect.
Okay. Now, you suffered from prostate. Yeah, it
absolutely
does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you suffered from prostate cancer as well, did you not?
Yes. In 2010, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Was a reading of 7.0 PSA, which wasn't really that high, but it showed up in my blood test, and the doctor wanted me to get into an oncologist who recommended that I have the radioactive seed.
Implants.
Right. And I had done enough reading about nuclear medicine or anything nuclear, because I'm just kind of a science geek anyways, to know that, in my opinion, anything radioactive is toxic to living tissue, period. That's kind of what I know about it, right?
Right.
It's an overlying logic that that I found it inescapable, and so there was no way that I was going to go for it. I had been learning about cannabis since, you know, 1998. So by that time, I realized that I could simply take some of the cannabis that I'd grown, make it into oil, and treat myself. And so that's what I did.
Was that the first time you made oil, or had you been making oil before that?
It was the first time I'd made oil myself. But back in the 80s, a musician friend of mine was into making oil. I'm not sure exactly why he liked it so much. I suppose he knew more about it at the time than I did. But he used to make huge amounts of oil and bring it to practice, and everybody would smoke it and would practice and stuff. It was a musician thing, I suppose. but that was the first time I'd made it myself. It turned out pretty good. After a fairly short time of treating myself, I think I was up to only about a half a gram, because you start. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy when you start, as anyone will tell you. You get pretty sleepy and pretty stoned, and you spend a lot of the day just sleeping.
Right. So, it's very very concentrated.
It's very heavy. Yeah. Mm. So I was only up to about half a gram, and about I think I was a month into it. And my PSA was already starting to drop. And so I got another PSA, and it showed 3.9.
So almost half, or over half. Over half.
Yeah.
7 to 3.9. That's less than half.
Stop bugging me. I don't do math well. Sorry, Daniel.
That's okay. We'll cut that part out, right?
Yeah. So you went from PSA of 7.0 to 3.9. Which is less than half,
Ian. Thank you. But, that's pretty darn decent, though. That was in a month.
Yeah, within a month.
Wow.
And so I decided to finish off the treatment, and I did the whole 60 grams, and it was quite an experience. And the doctor has taken my blood since, and he's never taken any notice of my PSA level, and never mentioned it again. So I assume everything's okie-dokie now.
Did he know you were doing cannabis, Daniel?
Yes, I told him.
And what was his response?
He didn't like it very much.
Mm.
And he was worried, and the oncologist kind of freaked out on me and started shrieking that, "But you're going to die. This could kill you." You know, it's like very high-stress situation. She was using hyperbole to try to convince me that I had to have this treatment, and I just wasn't going to have any of it.
Yeah, we've heard that before, haven't we?
Yeah, we've heard that. We hear that a lot.
It really put the pressure on, and it really made me angry, because the only way I managed to get out with it was by asking her whether I had a right to do with my body as I pleased. She had to admit that was the case.
Yes, yeah.
And so she said, "Well, okay, we'll do the watchful waiting." That's what she called it, watchful waiting.
So when they're doing this watchful waiting and they see that in a month your PSA is almost in half, what's their response, Daniel? What did they say?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, let's ignore the elephant in the room there.
That's right.
Yeah. So you said,
and I've never heard back from the Canadian Cancer Society once, not one time.
Well, I don't get a Christmas card from them either.
No. No.
You said that you did the full 60 grams. How long did it take you to do that 60 grams?
About 2 months.
2 months. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Daniel, did it help you with anything else that you noticed?
It's difficult to say, because I was asleep most of the time. But,
well, it'll help you with your sleep.
It definitely helped. Yeah. I really got a good sleep schedule now. I'm very regular. I can get up in the morning, and even though I'm not back to work yet, but I can get up in the morning and maintain a regular schedule.
Daniel, sorry to interrupt.
That became a good habit.
When you were doing the oil for your cancer, were you doing it all orally, or did you do suppositories as well?
I was taking it orally. I would put it in a gel cap and swallow it down.
Three times a day?
I think I was doing it two times a day because I'd take it after the morning so I could get things done in the morning.
I see.
And then I'd take about, that's right, I was taking 0.4 in the morning and 0.6 in the evening before bed.
And was it all one strain?
Yeah, it was all one strain.
Daniel, was it difficult for you to get the product in order to make cannabis oil?
No, because I'd been growing myself for years. So I had a fairly good collection of shake, and I had some buds that I'd recently grown, and so I used what I had on hand.
Do you remember or know what the strain was that you used?
It was a hybrid. It would have been Lemon Pledge and OG and...
It worked, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah,
it was a combination of a few things, I think.
Right.
A few different strains that I'd been trying and, you know, experimenting with, finding out what I liked to smoke and what worked for me and what I couldn't smoke. And I found that there was some sativa varieties that were too strong for me, and I just couldn't smoke them. They were just too outrageous.
I like that term, too outrageous.
Yeah. Daniel, did you...
Got me high.
Yeah.
Besides doing oil, did you do anything else? Did you do, you know, like supplements at all, or juice, or dietary changes, or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. I dropped my portion of meat to a smaller level, and I upped my green vegetables, make sure I got lots of broccoli and anything with magnesium in it, and lots of green vegetables, salads.
Right.
But less potatoes and starches, and less proteins and more green salads and green vegetables.
Interesting. We hear that from a number of people, don't we, Corey, who have cancer, and all of a sudden eating healthily just seems to click in.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it does. I think that using the cannabis makes you realize that, and I've heard this, I can't recall who said it, but for every illness there's a plant in medicine, in nature, as a cure, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I very strongly believe that, because I've seen it happen. We can let food be our medicine, then we won't need those poison medicines to cause complications and problems. My interest in cannabis has brought about a greater interest in other herbs and in nutrition in general.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, with your prostate cancer and your clearing of your prostate cancer, do you talk to any other guys about who have prostate cancer and about the use of cannabis oil?
I have. I still get people contacting me to get information on cannabis and... Through my website, through my online contacts on Facebook and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I get quite a bit of inquiries, and I'm always, you know, that's definitely one of the things that I do recommend. Any type of cancer that you can have, there's got to be a strain that's appropriate to that. I think prostate cancer being kind of a low-level, weakling-type cancer, that it doesn't take very much to knock it out,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a brain cancer or a breast cancer or, you know.
Yeah, prostate cancer is a very slow-growing cancer. They say that most men,
right,
if they live over the age of 80, will have some form of prostate cancer.
Right.
But they won't die of the prostate cancer. They'll die of something else.
It's almost just an endemic to living.
Yeah. That's right.
One of those things. We're all going to get it, probably.
Daniel, tell us the story about how you ended up with a crushed vertebra in your neck. It sounds painful as hell.
It was very painful. I have osteoarthritis in most of my bones, in my spine, my neck. And it was the result of cumulative wear and tear on my spine. So it was something that was happening gradually over time. Because the osteoarthritis softens the bone. Now, I probably contributed to it somewhat by hanging my head over a computer for too long, which doesn't help. Posture is something that I know that helped cause it. simple poor posture, but I've always had a problem with my back and my neck. I have a long back, and so my head's always felt a little heavy. So it's something that happened gradually over time and didn't become a problem until about 2010, when I started noticing my arms going to sleep, and I was too stubborn to go to the doctor until just last year, when it became too painful to ignore.
And as a result of your head leaning forward, it crushed the vertebra in your neck. Do I have that right?
That's right.
You know, you raise a very interesting point, because my chiropractor was telling me that that is going to be an issue in the future for a lot of people who use their smartphones. You see them walking along or in sitting down anywhere. Yeah, and their head is forward, and it puts the strain on the vertebra in your neck, which is exactly what you're talking about, right?
That's exactly right, and it's in exactly the same spot, C6 and C7.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned something about it crushing your spinal cord.
That's right. The crushed vertebrae created a spot in my spinal cord that looked like a squished bicycle tire.
Wow. And that in turn caused peripheral pain into your arms and legs and hands
as
well.
That's
right.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. So I got some spinal cord damage from the cord.
Does the cannabis oil help with the pain?
It does. It does. But at this point, I'm 2 months into recovery, and my pain's actually getting a little better. And so just a little bit of smoke once in a while, a couple of 3 times a day is enough to help.
Are you doing any oil?
Not at the moment, no.
No, just the smoking.
Yep. I take it once in a while as a supplement.
Now, you told us you were facing quadriplegia if you didn't get an operation.
That's right.
Wow.
That's what scared the hell out of me.
Well, it would get my attention, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So where are you now with that?
I'm recovering after the operation, and things are pretty good.
Good.
I'm starting to feel some joy in movement again, and greater confidence because I'm not dropping things and being able to do things again with my arms and hands. So I was just been starting to notice it definitely getting better.
Now, you said you smoke a bit, and you take oil a little bit. Have you thought of taking the oil again every day?
For what purpose?
Well, for your crushed vertebra in your neck, and you said you had the operation. Just wondering if that would help with your recovery.
Now I have a titanium part in my neck, so the vertebrae has been repaired. And I've got a brace in there as well. So the doctor says that's the strongest part of my neck now. So that isn't an issue. And so there's not a lot of pain coming from that.
So you got bionic neck.
I think taking oil would be overkill right now.
Okay.
I don't think I need to.
No, it's fair enough.
When a couple of puffs is enough to manage my pain and take... And let me do what I need to do. I think that's sufficient.
Daniel, you wrote a book a few years ago called Medical Growing, A Garden of Peace. Tell us about that.
When I was learning how to grow, I noticed that books by popular authors were quite complicated, contained a lot of information, which someone who is simply a layman learning how to grow might not be able to use until such a time as, you know, if they really got into it later on, they might want to find that information. But you wouldn't need it just to learn how to grow. So the concept of my book was to make the process a linear one and make it as easy to get from A to Z and as efficient a way as possible. So I started with an explanation of what sort of went on. Then I got into, I took it from seed to flower, and I put it in a linear fashion so that it reads like an instruction manual.
Oh, that's neat.
anyone who wants, so that anyone wants to, who wants to get started, to start at the beginning, plant the seeds, and follow right along.
So you've simplified the whole thing.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people, you know, particularly the people that I speak with, are many of them are older, and find the idea of trying to grow rather daunting.
Yes.
When it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. That's right. And that's the whole message of the book, is that it's not hard to do. It isn't difficult. If you've ever grown tomatoes, then it's possible for you to do this. You can do it inside. You can do it outside, in the greenhouse, in the yard. The plant is so powerful that it grows itself, essentially. You don't really need to fuss with it as much as people often do.
Yeah, I've tried to grow tomatoes. Man, I have not had much success.
No way. Need luck.
Maybe I'll try. I'll try growing some cannabis plants to see if I have better success.
I think they might be easier to grow than tomatoes, actually, because you know you have to harvest the tomatoes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, Daniel, since you first started looking into cannabis over the last 20 years, there has been an enormous change in public attitude. Is public attitude ahead of public sentiment ahead of the political sentiment in both Canada and the United States, and I guess elsewhere around the world?
I would have to say that the public is ahead of the administration on this one. In just about any case in any country, unless it's Portugal or Spain, where they've had great success and where opiate overdoses is a manageable thing because they use education and care and love punitive
action. Yeah, in Portugal, there's been over a decade of they just legalized all drug use, and their drug deaths as a result have decreased. And
that's right.
They don't treat it as a crime. They treat it as a public health issue, which is something that I think other countries should have been looking at and should be looking at in a very serious way, because I don't think anyone really wants to be a heroin addict or wants to be a crack cocaine addict. It is a public health issue.
They certainly don't.
Yeah, and it could be.
They don't.
Yeah, it could be a mental health issue which they're experiencing, and the reason they take drugs, and the reason people drink a lot, and the reason people go shopping a lot is because there is an issue within them that is alleviated somewhat by doing that particular drug, alcohol, or whatever it is that they have.
Absolutely. It's a textbook psychology where one is in pain, one wants to be out of pain.
Yeah.
And often substance abuse is an escape.
Absolutely. Daniel, is there anything you want to say in conclusion to folks around the world who may be listening about maybe about prostate cancer or your arthritis or pain generally?
Well, I think I just wanted to get back to the fentanyl and the Portugal thing, where governments can make a big difference by legalizing cannabis to alleviate this the opioid crisis. And I find it a little frustrating that the government is trying to spend money to solve the fentanyl crisis when the solution is right in front of them, that to legalize cannabis can help drop that opioid overdose level by as much as 25% across Canada. That's a lot of people, and that's a lot of lives being saved. And it's can't be called anything but harm reduction. If they're looking for harm reduction, I think cannabis is definitely the answer.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Daniel, good of you to do this. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you very much for calling.
Now, here's a question for listeners. Do you have a story about the medical use of cannabis? There are thousands and thousands of people around the world, probably millions of people, who use cannabis for medical purposes. Those are the people we want to hear from. There are podcasts that talk about the recreational use of cannabis, and that's fine. We have no disagreement with that. There are podcasts that talk about the business side of cannabis. We have no disagreement with that. But we don't talk about those two issues because there are just so many podcasts and so much information about that. There is a desire, we find anyway, that people want to know more about the medical use of cannabis, and we want to hear your stories. So if you have a story to tell, send us some information at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Tell us about your use of cannabis for medical purposes, and give us a bit of background, and we'll contact you, and we'll set up an interview so you can tell your story. The email address is info@cannabishealthradio.com. That's it for another program. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.